Good morning, fellow travelers. Fellow travelers on the journey of learning to trust the Lord. Yeah? I wonder how many of you are good waiters? Not at the restaurant, I mean waiting for something to come. To be a good waiter, you'd be very patient, right? The other day, I was on my way to work, and I have a job down about 12th Street in Northern, and this is what I encounter. This is the I-17 here. Oh man, I was just so frustrated. I mean, come on. And I'm looking at the little GPS deal, and the time says I'm going to be 30 minutes late. And I am not, when I'm late, I get anxious feelings. I don't like being late. And as I came around the 303 and started coming down the 17 there, and it just, I mean, just nothing was moving. But all of a sudden, as I creeped, you know, 30 minutes up, creeped up, the sign came across, a dot worker killed. And suddenly all my waiting worries and fears seemed very, very unimportant to me. And, you know, my workers were waiting there, and the kind lady invited them in, gave them coffee, chatted with them while they were waiting for me, and it was no big deal. So, you know, but I'm not very good at waiting. How about one of these deals? Oop. Anybody have to renew their driver's license? Yeah. This, woo. Emily's 16th birthday is coming up. I'm not looking forward to the line at the DMV. But speaking of Emily, Isaac and Emily came home. Brittany came home all yesterday at the same time. And as we sat down for dinner, Isaac and Emily were off to Anaheim for a school choir. And, you know, by the way, they got gold and silver. But as we sat down for dinner, Emily can tell a story. I don't know where she gets it from, but she can tell a story. She's so animated, and she goes, as we get on the bus for this six-hour trip over to California, one full hour into the trip, and her eyes are huge. Her hair is starting to get bigger and flow about, and her hands are moving like this. 1 hour into the trip, my battery goes dead, and I've got 5 more hours to go. And Ann and I sat there and listened to them tell stories about their trip, and we just loved every minute of it. But you know, that now that waiting for the phone to recharge or sitting on a bus with no phone to do anything with. You know. Or how about a trip like this? Don't you just love those? I had to pick a friend up from the airport not too long ago, and now they have this parking lot that you sit in with a big sign in front of it that tells you, and you hunt and hunt and hunt for your friend's flight, and then it says delayed, and you're waiting. And hopefully your phone is charged, right? How are you at waiting? Are you good at it? Is anybody good at waiting? Anybody very patient? I'm not very good at it. I'm not a good waiter. Take something to do. Yeah. In fact, my wife tells me that I'm not very good at vacationing either. Like, I have to work into relaxing. She loves the beach, and she just wants to sit there on the beach. Just sit there. And I'm like, you want to swim? No, I just want to sit. Do you, should I? what do you want to do? No, I just want to sit here. I'm like, yeah, but what do you want to do? She just wants to sit. And I'm like, whew, I'm just like, you're just sitting, huh? What are you? Wait. Yeah, about 16 years ago for our anniversary, I saved up my shekels and we went on a short cruise. Do you know that the cruises are nice and all, but you know what the problem with the cruise is? You can only circle that boat so many times before you've seen the whole boat. And Anne's on one of those deck chairs. She's got a book and she's just reading, just like sitting there and reading. And she goes, she looked up, how many times have you been around the boat this time? Oh, it's my fourth trip. There's nothing out there. It's just water everywhere. Just. I'm not very good at waiting. I'm not good at it. I don't know how to do that. I'll figure it out eventually, right? Yeah. Grow into it. As we get to this point in Abram and Sarai's life, the struggle they're having now is in the waiting, right? And the question that we're coming up to is, are you still going to trust God even in the waiting? And if we're not very good at waiting and we're not very good at being patient, because as many of us know, God's timing is not often our timing, is it? And as we're looking across Abram's life, and this has kind of been the start of the whole thing here, Abram has been called out to be a blessing, so called out to be blessed so that he can be a blessing, right? And his life is going to have ripple effects in it. And the choices he makes and the things he does with God are going to have everlasting ripple effects, right? And even in the waiting, if we do well or don't do well, those also have ripple effects also, don't they? And so so here's kind of the journey that he started down there in the Ur of the Chaldeans. I don't know how exciting it is to live in Ur, but it's a big deal to leave your family, your father's household, and move and go. Especially for this God who suddenly introduces himself and says, I am God, how about you follow me? Oh, okay. Right? But he does, surprisingly enough. And he goes up along the water and comes down and lands in Canaan. And as soon as he gets there, blessing, right? No, famine. Which, by the way, I think there might be a pattern there. I'm not ready to preach on that yet, but I think there may be a pattern that when God calls you out, there might be some time of famine or dryness or wilderness or something like that. You know, 40 years in the desert for the Egyptians, 40 days of fasting for Jesus. I mean, he gets baptized and there's the dove, this is my son, and him I am well pleased. And the Spirit drove him into the desert to be tempted, right? Isn't that wonderful? There may be a pattern there, just to suggest, maybe. But he goes into the land of Egypt. He reverts back to his conniving and cheating and lying ways. It doesn't go so well. He gets kicked out of Egypt, but surprising enough, he gets kicked out with a few goods. He's got servants and slaves and a few camels and extra goats and whatnot. But back to Canaan, where he recommits. It says he built an altar there, and he says, Lord, and the word we used during that sermon was he began again, right? Begin again. And he did, and we saw that he flourished. Things went well. Gold and silver was up. Camels and donkeys were up, and goats were on the rise. And not only him, but Lot's family. And then there's a separation between him and Lot. But Lot gets captured by the kings, and he goes up and capture and gets them back, you know, and wins all the goods. But he doesn't keep them because he doesn't want anybody else to say that they made him who he was. Only God gets that privilege, right? And then during that time, last week we talked about, hey, he's a little scared because those kings may come back, right? But God says, listen, trust me. I'll be your shield. And then he takes him out, and there's that promise, right? You will have your own child. And you will have so many heirs that you can't even count them. We get that little, you won't even be able to count them. There's so many, right? And there's that promise. Well, it's, as we begin today, they're waiting. In the 16th chapter, we see it's been 10 years since that promise, and there's still no babies. You think 30 minutes of traffic is bad. And I wonder, we all have times of waiting, don't we? Some of you understand what it's like to wait to get pregnant or have a child. Some of you understand maybe you're trying to adopt, and the bureaucracy of adopting is a massive process of waiting and waiting and waiting. And sometimes it's a waiting and never mind, that one didn't work out. Some of you get that. Sometimes you're waiting for career change, right? Or waiting for a career transfer, or waiting for that side business of yours to take off so that it will be the business, right? And it just isn't really taking off, is it? Or that promised promotion. Oh, you are next in line for that promotion, right? Okay. When does that line move forward, right? Or maybe it's a financial situation, waiting for your financial situation to change. You've taken the Dave Ramsey course, and you've been faithfully hacking away at those credit cards that you stacked up, and it's still bad, right? You know, or maybe you're waiting for the approval of that loan so you can buy that house or that car or whatever it is, right? And it's waiting to hear whether you got it or not. Or approval to build if you're building a new house or a church. Yeah. Or some of you have been struggling to get approval from your father or mother. That may never come, right? Waiting for a relationship to develop, waiting for a relationship to improve, or just waiting for a relationship in any fashion, right? Jonathan over there is going, amen. Or waiting for God. Waiting is right in the midst of there. So as we go through this, I've got four sections, and our first one would be the shortcut. Okay? This is our first road sign on our journey today. The shortcut, right? Full bullet holes. Did you like that? I thought that was fun. So it says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. What do you hear here? What do you see when you see that? Hurt? Pain? Struggle? Feeling of self-doubt, inadequacy, or maybe, well, you know, God promised Abram, but I'm not sure he mentioned my name in that deal. Maybe she's feeling like maybe I wasn't included. Maybe I'm holding him back. But, you know, the shortcut continues. But she had an Egyptian slave. By the way, where'd she get that Egyptian slave? At the first problem, right? And she might even be blaming Abram. Listen, well, that's later. She had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Now, by the way, can I step back for a minute and just address a couple of things here? I probably should, because some of you are looking at going, "What? What? His slaves and trading women?" And this doesn't fly today, by the way. No. And in fact, I pondered greatly whether or not to skip this section. I had a grandmother who would skip over large sections of Bible when she would read to us because they were the ugly parts. You know what I mean? Or the PG-13 rating, or, you know. Uncomfortable. Just because we see it mentioned here of slavery and the mistreatment of women does not mean that that's approval of what God likes. It just happens to be what's going on in the reality of the situation here. And I actually appreciate that the Bible is real and doesn't sugarcoat the whole thing. And so we are going to cover some really tough subjects today. And I did. I almost skipped over this and went to the next one because the next one's easier to do. But this is, there's some real learning for us today. So she takes a shortcut. She takes a shortcut where I'm tired of waiting for what God's going to do. And the problem is, sometimes there are shortcuts to get to places in life, and you can choose to take shortcuts. The problem is you don't get to choose what the result of the shortcut is. There are shortcuts in life when you don't have any money, but your TV breaks or your washing machine breaks or something. And usually that shortcut comes in a little form of with numbers on it, right? That's a shortcut, isn't it? Sometimes there are shortcuts to that career move. You may over-exaggerate your involvement in that really cool program that went on. Oh, I totally did that whole thing. Led the whole group. Or maybe there's a shortcut in underselling the guy who's in competition with you or the girl who's in competition with you. Well, you know, they're not a very good leader. I kind of had to help them out a little bit there. And maybe they are a good leader. Maybe they're just as good as you are. Maybe they're even better than you. But you undercut them and undersell them and try to promote yourself. Next thing you know, the result of that shortcut is somebody doesn't trust you. Or sometimes in relationships, there are shortcuts. Shortcuts to intimacy. Yeah, I went there. Today it's widely accepted. I mean, shoot, just turn the TV on. But there are ways to get intimate without working and building a real relationship and entering into marriage. There's a whole industry called pornography that sells you intimacy for a price, and you don't have to work at a relationship at all. But there are consequences to that. Do you hear me? And so there are shortcuts, and you can take shortcuts to some of the promises that maybe God has given you. And if He promises you, if He talks to you about being a man of God in a relationship with a wife and a family and all that, then working on that the way God asks you to do it might be Might take longer than you think, but is it worth it? Is the waiting worth it? But I don't like feeling like the odd duck out or the third wheel on a date or the... There are shortcuts, aren't there? Which leads us to our next road sign. Right? When you take shortcuts, there are consequences. You can, and you get to choose. Am I going to take the shortcut? But you don't get to choose the consequence of what you jump into. And as we see here in Genesis 16:4, when she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. This is Hagar. Hagar, suddenly she becomes important. And maybe she starts, well, I got pregnant and you didn't. And I'm valuable now. Especially if she was a slave before and suddenly there is a future for her, right? And she begins to get snippy and prideful. You guys never seen that before, have you? More happens. Then Sarai says to Abram, you are responsible for this wrong I am suffering. You put my slave in, I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. She begins to blame. The blame game begins, right? This is becoming a mess quickly, isn't it? Nothing like a dysfunctional family, right? 86, I think he is at this point. She begins to blame. And then Abram is like, didn't you say to do that? I'm not even going to go there. But he did. But he says, your slave is in your hands, Abram said. Do with her whatever you think. What's he doing? He's disconnecting. I don't want anything to do with this. You deal with this. That disconnecting always solves the problem, doesn't it? That's a winning solution. Well, I just still stand over here in the corner. You guys keep that going over there. Or even beforehand, when the suggestion was made, we didn't see anything from Abram go, let's just wait for God. Oh, well, hey, that sounds like a good idea, knucklehead. Right? What we see here is each one of them are contributing to the overall problem and making it even worse and worse and worse, aren't they? And then Sarai mistreated Hagar so that she fled from her. So now there's mistreatment, and the mistreatment that's here is the same word that was used when the Egyptians mistreated the Hebrew slaves when they weren't making bricks fast enough for the Egyptian lords. Mistreated. And then, it's always good to run away from the problem, isn't it? Anybody a runner away? Don't raise your hand. We know who you are, by the way. Some of us, the problem gets so bad, I don't even want to face it. I'm not even going to enter into that anymore. That's just as bad as what Abram did, isn't it? Sometimes you run completely away from it. And it's a responsibility that's yours. You need to do it, and you should do it, but you don't. And you turn it away to everybody else, and it suddenly becomes everybody else's problem and not yours. And while you're running away from it, nothing gets solved. Your heart still aches. The problem is still there. And you just ran away to a different place. And next thing you know, you're in a different place and it's still there. It's like people who go to a different church because the last church had a problem in it. And then suddenly you find that same problem in the church you're in. You wonder what the problem was. Maybe it was you. Which leads us to our next road sign. I couldn't find a sign that said the encounter, so. She runs away, right? So if you look there, there's Israel, which is Canaan at the time. Finding a map that says Canaan on it is harder than you think. But Israel there, and right about between Israel and Judah there is where she is running from. And I've got another map that's going to move there. See that Shur desert with that bubble in it? That water part down there is the Red Sea. And just to the west of the Red Sea is Egypt. Right, yeah, good. You remember your geography from school? No? Okay. I've been throwing maps up here a long time, folks, so it's okay. Egypt. She's running back to something that's familiar to her. Except the problem is that running away from your master is a killable offense. She could die by doing this. And as we'll see here, maybe that's exactly what she's looking for. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near the spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And so that was the map that we... There was a phrase in there that caught my attention. The Lord found Hagar. She was found by the Lord. Now, who's Hagar? That she should be found by the Lord. She's a nobody. She's nobody. She's the one that got away. Yeah. The 99 are still okay. See, you jumped. Yeah. But she's a nobody. She really is. She's an Egyptian of all. Matter of fact, aren't the Egyptians enemies of the Israelites? Or they will be. She's just a slave girl. Now think about that, because I'm going to address that in a minute, though. Future mother of the Arab people, right? But the Lord found her. He went after her. He found her about 70 miles from Canaan in her pregnant state. And she's probably staying there by the water because she got dehydrated in the desert or whatever. And she's running. And here's what it says. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? Oh, man. These are questions we should all ask ourselves from time to time. Where have you come from? And where in the world do you think you're going? I am running away from my mistress Sarai, she answered. The admission of that is punishable by death. I wonder if she is feeling so lousy, so miserable, so out of sorts that she would prefer the consequence. Have you ever come across somebody who talks that way? Who's in the midst of a miserable life because of their poor choices. And sometimes it's because of nothing they did, but of somebody else's poor choices that resulted in their lap, which is Hagar's issue. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much so that they too will be numerous to count, too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant. Oh, he knows everything, right? This is, by the way, it says the angel of the Lord. Who is this? We discover that it's actually really God who's there. Some scholars argue that it's not God the Father, but Jesus who's there. And that he chooses, this is one of the very first instances where he appears, not the first, but it's right among them, and he appears to Hagar of all people. Now listen, you are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. Now, some of you may be looking at pictures in your wallet. No, just kidding. I have a son with a resemblance. No, just kidding. I don't. Some of you may have been that resemblance. Anyways, yeah. Yeah, your son will be a wild donkey of man. Thank you. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live in hostility toward his brothers. Do you know who this becomes, right? Now I want you to follow me for a minute. I'm going to scoot this aside because I don't want there to be any barriers between you and I when I talk about this. Listen, who is talking to Hagar and telling her about what's going to happen with her son? It's God who is saying, this is what's going to happen with your son. Now, nowhere in here does it say it's because you ran away or it's because of this problem or because of that. It just says this is what's going to happen with your son. It's us who likes to place blame or cause and effect on things. But if God's the one who said this is what's going to happen with Ishmael, then God has a plan for Ishmael. And if all the descendants of Ishmael are part of what God said this is what they're going to be, then God has got some plan that he's taking a very long time and we're waiting for it. And some of us, instead of going, well, God's going to do something with them, we should pray for them, we have stopped waiting and given up on the plan of God. And this whole story we're talking about is we need to wait on God sometimes. And so, I don't like what they're doing. I don't like that they blew up towers. I don't like that they fight with everybody. I don't like that. But somehow, God is the one that said, this is what's going to happen with this guy. So that means God's going to eventually do something with them. If God is the initiator of it, so that then suddenly changed my perspective on this whole group of people. This is I don't know why this is the first time I ever saw this. Maybe because I didn't want to see it before, I don't know. But it's suddenly, in fact, it was this week as I'm studying this passage, I'm going, wait a minute, God's in the midst of this. It's God who said, who went after her. He could have let her die in the desert. In fact, that's where she was heading. And her words were, I am running away from my mistress. Kill me now. He could have let that happen. But he didn't. He sought her out. He says, I've got a plan for you. And many of us don't like the plan of God because it doesn't fit our schedule. And I want to be careful. I don't want to question God and all, but listen, he's 86 and she's 76? Seriously? And there's no babies yet? Do you know that it's 13 more years? 37, 89 years old when she has a baby. I don't want to question God and all, but 89 years old? Really? You were going to wait that long? And later we find out when she hears she's pregnant, she laughs. Wouldn't you? 88 and 89's coming and... I don't have a baby in here. That's just, you know. I would laugh too. I think God's funny. He's just funny. Okay, so moving on from that to our next roadmap, the return. This is our fourth section, and this is heavy. In Genesis 9, it says this: Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." I want to pause for a moment and address an issue. This is God speaking to a specific woman at a specific time in history, and may not be for you at this moment. If you are being abused or beaten up or whatever, don't take this as God said, "Hagar, go back. I must go back into that abuse." That's not what's happening here. Okay, so I just needed to say that out loud just in case somebody misunderstood what was going on there. Are you with me? Am I okay? Are we okay? But in this particular instance, he says, for relationships to be fixed, I need you to start fixing it. And you left because you got an attitude over the whole thing and it ended up blowing up. You were part of that whole mess to begin with, and I want you to go back and fix it. That's what he's saying here. Because she was every bit a part of that mess, right? So was Sarai, so was Abram, but God met her, saved her life, by the way, and said, "You need to submit in this relationship. Don't go rubbing it in her nose anymore. All you're doing is causing hurt and pain, and she's lashing back because you were hurting her. I need you to go back. I need you to return." Now let me. What's the application for us? I mean, because listen, I just have the one wife. Right. This is a problem with two, so what's the application, right? I only have one. Thank the Lord. Maybe there's something, some problem, something that's broken, some relationship, something that you need to return to and be humble in. Maybe you're a kid, a child of parents, and maybe you need to return to your parents in humility and say, "Hey, listen, my attitude has sucked lately, and I have not been respectful to you as I should have been, and I'm returning and I'm apologizing." Maybe you're a parent who has been killing it at work lately, but because you're doing so well, that you are neglecting your children. And maybe you need, as a parent, to return to your children and go, "Hey, I'm going to pay more attention to you in your life. After all, you have been a gift from God to me, and I'm going to pay more attention." Maybe it's both, parents and children in the same family. Because as we noticed here, usually 100% of the problem is not the one. I read a pastor's blog. It was called Dinner at Chipotle. You know, so it caught my attention. I don't know about you, but Dinner at Chipotle sounds pretty good. I believe they have carne asada. Hello. Anybody looking for lunch today? Just, you know, just a thought. So I was reading this pastor's blog, and he's telling about how he had met a young man in his congregation at Chipotle for dinner. And as dinners with the pastor go, it's usually not just dinner. But he began to explain to the pastor that he and his wife were in a real tough moment. And it was centered around these little rugrats that had come along. And he started off by saying, these babies that she had, excuse me, I think you helped a little bit with that. But as he began to tell the story, he started crying right there in the middle of Chipotle. And the pastor's blog said, he says, and I asked him, we're two guys in the middle of Chipotle. Should we go somewhere private? No. So he kept on with his story about how he would work all day at work and she'd be at home and he'd come and say something like, are you still in your sweatpants? Which would start another argument and a conversation about who's doing what and what's not getting done and what should be done and you're not paying attention to me and it's just fighting and bickering. And next thing you know, one goes into the room and one's stuck on the couch and it's bitter and it's hurtful and it's... And the pastor says, so what are you going to do? And he just wept louder. And pretty soon all of Chipotle is... Tension is like, what is going on over there, right? Because sound travels in Chipotle well. But he said, I'll tell you what I did. It came across me like a word from the Lord. And I went into the bedroom and I knelt down on my knees and I said, I am sorry for all of my portion in this. And I forgive you for all the portion you have in it. And I am in this for the long haul and I'm not going anywhere. And I am here to figure out how to fix this. It was a moment where he humbled himself before his wife, and then she humbled herself before him, and they began again as a couple, a young couple who had all these rugrats to take care of, but were trying to figure it out. And as you guys know who have had rugrats, we all have been in that moment, right? And the pastor's blog said, and the rest of Chipotle cried with us. I don't know what it is in your life that maybe you're running from, maybe you're disconnecting from, maybe you're lashing out and blaming, maybe you're getting prideful, but you may need to return back to the situation and humble yourself and focus on the relationship and not the problem. And the angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. Who is the one who increases the descendants of Hagar? And by the way, that whole donkey thing, what's with that? Right? Listen, Hagar is a nobody slave. And the Lord says to her, your son will be so wild that nobody will be able to tell him anything. In a sense, he says to her, your son will be free. And not only that, but free and prosperous. And I will make him prosperous. And yeah, we have a problem with that. We do. But listen, somehow God's in the middle of it. Somehow. I don't know. But listen, can you trust God in the waiting? And life is full of waiting moments. And many of us are not great at waiting. And there are many things in life that we all have, like areas that we are waiting for God to fulfill or become part of or do something in. And suddenly we throw a big shindig and think, this is the moment, God, I prepared it for you. Show up. Or some of us get all agitated about somebody who got against God. And I often ask the question, does God need you to defend him? Does he need you to be his rescuer? Does he need you to be the maker of miracles? Sometimes it's a humbling of ourselves and recognizing our position in the moment, our position in the midst of what God's doing, is God is doing it, and he may include me. And wait for it. Thank you. And I got to tell you, this is one of the toughest areas of trusting God, is in the moments of waiting. Waiting for a child to come back to the Lord. Waiting for healing. Waiting for a spouse who has not yet come to the Lord. Waiting. What are you waiting for? And can you wait and trust on the Lord? Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, you know me so well. You know my heart is anxious. And yet you still ask me to wait on you. So, Lord, I pray for patience. I pray for trust. Strengthen my trust in you. Strengthen my heart to wait for you. Strengthen my heart to see what it is that you have in store. Lord, this church, as a body of believers who have proclaimed you as our God, give us the ability to trust in you in every circumstance and even in the waiting. And though the waiting may be difficult, give us courage, give us strength to trust in you. And Lord, as we walk on this journey with Abraham, as we walk on this journey with you, strengthen us, encourage us, and show us your ways, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.